Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's having a great week. Looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us this evening. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this evening. We want to welcome everybody that's watching online. First Pentecostal in Villa Rica, we just love each and every one of you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Does anyone on my right side have a spoken prayer request tonight? All righty. Like that. Anyone on the left side with a spoken prayer request?
Didn't leave her name, but she's got Sarah, I think I guess is a daughter, and a son-in-law, Ron, needs prayer for an appeals case, and her son-in-law has COVID, and she says the whole house needs to be lifted up spiritually. So she asks if the church would pray for her. She didn't leave a name, but we'll pray for her. God knows all
Amen.
About it.
They sure do. Amen. God does. If you haven't unspoken, yes, Miss Lori, I'm sorry. Absolutely. We most definitely lift that up in prayer. If you have an unspoken prayer request, just show by the raising of your hand. God sees and knows each and every one. Brother Chris, would you lead us in opening prayer, please? Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise as we come in tonight. So glad to see y'all, as I said earlier. While you're standing, most of y'all know this by heart, but turn to page 120. Miss Penny was playing it just a second ago. Victory in Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated if you can. I know we're getting ready to take up the evening offering, but just want to say something. As we talk about the old songs or the songs in the, even the new, they're praise and worship songs, but as you take, like in the old Red Book hymnal, and I always talk about it, that song alone, you've talked to people probably, or someone said to you in the past, or maybe you've said it yourself, I don't know what to pray. But as you pray to the Lord, and you can take a song like Victory in Jesus, knowing His victory and what He's done in your life, and it would turn into praise and worship, and that's as close as we can get to the Lord so many times when we're searching for those words. I know that God will give us what we need to say, and He'll help our heart, but there is victory in Jesus. Amen. I will always say that. I'll always preach it, and I'll always bring it forward. There is victory in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord just to bless our evening offering, please? Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen.
The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. And
take just a moment and testify because God's been so good to me. He's brought me a long way over the last few weeks. And whenever I was rolled out of here that Sunday morning, I didn't know if I'd ever see any of you again. I really didn't. They still don't know what's going on, but I serve a God that does, and I serve a God that's going to take care of it. So if they're, and I'm sure they will at one time or another, there'll come a time that we will have our last service together. We will not always meet like this again, but there'll be a time that there'll be some of us that won't make it back for the next service. And if that happens to be me, then I want to stroll over heaven with each and every one of you. Y'all worship the Lord as I try to sing this song. If I survey all the good things that come to me from above, if I count all the blessings from His storehouse of love, I'd simply ask for the favor of Him beyond mortal king. I'm sure He'd grant it again and again. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day when all these troubles and heartaches have vanished away. And I'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. So many places of beauty we long to see here below, but time and treasures have kept us, you know. But coming that morning of the rapture, we'll sing while I stroll over heaven. To stroll over heaven with you some glad day when all these troubles and heartaches have vanished away. Then we'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over. When all these troubles and heartaches have vanished away, then we'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you.
Awesome song there, sister. You know, I can remember at one time, if you would have sung that song to me, I would have said, you know what? Don't look for me there, because I know I'm not going to be there. I can go back about 40 years ago. In fact, this year, this month, 40 years ago, I was one of those that was on the gates, swinging on them gates of hell. Heaven wasn't in my picture. But you know, like this song I'm fixing to sing, Jesus reached way down. When I say down, I mean way down, and pulled me up. He pulled me up. And thank God, I've been up ever since. Now, I have some down days, but He pulls me right back up. You know, because we're all not good. I say good. Let's say this way. We're all not perfect. And we slip and fall. But he reaches and he pulls us back up. But all we got to do is be willing to go to him and say, Lord, take my hand. And he's there. But this song, I've heard this song so many times, and this, I don't know why, the last few months, it has stuck with me because it brings back, there's so much truth in it. And as I sing it, think about your own situations and your own past, because if it wasn't for God and his son and his love reaching down, where would all of us tonight be? We wouldn't be sitting in here. No, 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 no. We'd be somewhere else, swinging on the mother gates. Swinging on the mother gates. All right? So, you know, thank God. But I'm looking for that. I'm looking for that. So, go ahead. Start it over, please. That was number 10. Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, I was wretched and blind as could be, but my Savior in love gave me peace from above. When he reached down his hand for me, when the Savior reached down for me, way down for me, I was lost and undone without God or his Son. When he reached down his hand for me, how my heart does rejoice when I hear his sweet voice. In the tempest to him I will cling, there to lean on his arms, safe, secure from all harm. When he reached down his hands for me, when my Savior reached down for me, when he reached way down for me, I was lost and undone from God and his Son. When he reached down his hands for me, I was lost and undone with God and his Son. Reach down for me. Thank God for the day he reached down for me. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Brother Ed, it's on here.
Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad he reached down for you?
Amen. Man, praise God. thinking about that song, Stroll Over Heaven. Man, how many's got somebody already over there? It's going to be a great time of celebration and reunion when you get to stroll down to heaven with your loved ones and with Jesus. Man, I was thinking those who can't walk here will be able to stroll down to heaven. And I sort of had Kevin in mind, and that's going to be wonderful just to kind of stroll down the streets of gold with Kevin right in the middle of us. And walking, praising the Lord. If you got your, I don't think it's found in that Bible. I think it's 312 in the book. Turn over and sing with me the Eastern Gate. And when you say those words, I will meet you in the morning, I want you to mean it. Maybe you can look at somebody, might want to shake their hand and just make that promise that you will meet them in the morning just inside the Eastern Gate. I'm getting there. I will meet you in the morning just inside the Eastern Gate. Oh, then be ready, faithful pilgrim, blessed with you and me too late. Well, I will meet you
in the morning.
I will meet you
in the morning
just inside the Eastern Gate. How many's got some there? Oh, a happy just inside the Eastern Gate. One more time. Well, I will meet you in the morning. I will meet you
in the morning.
just inside the eastern gate over there. I will meet you
in the morning.
I will meet you
in the morning.
I will meet you in the morning over there.
How many plan to be there?
Hello. That's going to be. Praise the Lord. Well, God is gracious. God is so good to us. We thank Him for all of His blessings. Thank you for coming out tonight. Hope you're having a good week, a wonderful week. We were, just to let you know, we were able, you know, the church blessed us with a gift, a love offering, and it had something written at the bottom. It was for a suit. I hope they don't get mad, but I bought two suits. Amen. For less money than I usually would have paid for one suit. So we went to K&G and they had a big special. So if you see me strutting some new threads, thank y'all so very much for your wonderful charity and your love. And just love you so very much. And we thank you. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of Joshua tonight. Man, many remembers Joshua, the man who took the reins of leadership after Moses. Joshua, if you've read anything about him, was an excellent leader. Man, everybody's not a leader. I mean, you know, some folks are good followers, some folks are excellent leaders. Joshua was anointed of God. That's what made him to be such an astonishing leader, is because he was faithful. He stayed under Moses, and he was guided by Moses and tutored by Moses. But mainly, he was led by the Spirit of God, and he was submissive and obedient to God. And if we remain submissive and obedient to God, God will use us mightily in His work. In the book of Joshua, chapter 9, I want to go back several years to a message that I preached. It was, I think it was on a Sunday morning many, many years ago, and God revisited me this week with that, and I really hadn't planned to preach on it, but it's just been on my mind. It's just been on my mind all week long about this. And I really think that it's probably even more fitting today, in the day and hour that we're living in, even than it was in that day that I preached it. And I can't tell you how many years ago, but I know it's been a lot, because I look back in my Bible, and it was three Bibles ago. Usually I count. You know, I've had three Bibles in 30 years that I've actually preached out. I'm on my third one. And so this was in the first one, so it's been a good bit. But not to leave you standing, I just kind of wanted to give you a little groundwork of where God has been speaking to me this week. And thank God that He still speaks to us. Amen. Amen. Sometimes when maybe He hadn't heard from us, you know, He speaks to us and just kind of said, hey, where you been? You know, what's going on in your life? I need to sit down and talk a while. And it's not verbatim that, but it's that spiritual closeness that we have. From the book of Joshua, chapter 9, beginning with verse number 3. If you're there, say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and Ai. How many remembers the great battles of Jericho and Ai that God wrought through the hand of Joshua? They did work wilily, or craftily, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks and put them on their asses, and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes, and clouted upon their feet, latcheted or tied upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore, make ye a league with us. In other words, let's sign a treaty. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. Now listen to what Joshua said. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye, and from whence come ye? Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word. God, we're thankful for your spirit and for those who've gathered here tonight. And Father, I pray that you just pour out your blessings and your anointing upon this service. Reach and touch each and every one here tonight. God, help us to give this little time, God, to you, being one mind and one accord, Lord, submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. And Father, we do remember those many requests, God. Many have reached out for prayer. And Father, you're a God of all power, and I pray that you would reach out to each and every need tonight. God, touch those in the hospitals, the nursing homes, those that are sick and shut in. God, and those who left messages on the phone as well. I pray, God, that you would bless them. Ask you now, God, just to anoint this vessel and these lips of clay, God, to speak that you would have us to hear, and we'll be so careful to give you praise, honor, and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord praise. You may be seated. Amen. Glory. God's worthy. Amen. Can't praise him enough. Amen. For all that he has done, by faith, all that he is going to do. Tonight, it's kind of a long topic. In fact, Greg told me, said if our subject matters get any longer, we don't have a little bit of space to put it on. So, but he said Julie can do it. So Julie, thank you. But it's titled, Who Are You and Where Did You Come From? And Brother Chris, I told him, I said, I've even got a subtitle. The Enemy's Deception. How many knows that the enemy is a deceiver? And how many knows that's not the only time that we've heard that phrase or alluding to that phrase? How many remembers in the book of Job, chapter number 2, beginning with verse number 1? Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Now, our first thought was, what's he doing there? And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. He wasn't just taking a casual stroll. Satan was looking for somebody somewhere to deceive, somebody somewhere to cause them to stumble, to cause illness in their life or trouble or strife. And we know what Satan does. We have been serving the Lord long enough to know that he is not out for any good whatsoever. And Satan knows that. Satan knows that we know that he's out to no good. So therefore, Satan has tried to kind of change, camouflage, if you would, his actions and the way that he approaches us in that day, in this day and hour. And the reason that we know that and understand that is because there is so much frustration right now. There's so much confusion. There's bitterness. There's ill feelings on different sides, and people can't seem to get together, and people want to argue, and people want to fight, and all of these things are going on in the world. And we need, as a church, we need, as a Christian, we need, as a child of God, to say, wait a minute, time out. Who are you? And where did you come from? And I will assure you, Satan is coming from to and fro, walking up and down in the annals of history and throughout history, trying to deceive, trying to steal, trying to kill, and trying to destroy anybody that he possibly can. Let's go back just a little bit. We understand that Joshua is now in control, and God is blessing them, and Joshua is very obedient unto God, and, you know, he even promised him the city of Jericho. And I always use the analogy, you know, God makes promises to us sometimes before we can see the effects of it. Nobody's ever stood on faith before it actually took place. Come on, just give the Lord praise if you've ever done that, because that's not easy to do. It's really not. You're to be complimented. That's not really easy to do, to accept something by faith before you can even see the effects of it. But that's what faith is. It's a substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. So if you can say that I have stepped out on faith and I've claimed victory over healing, over financial situations, over obligations, over family matters, whatever it is, before you could ever see the effects of it, then you need to praise and glorify the Lord, because it's just great when the Lord comes on the scene and he actually fulfills the promise that he said that he would do. So the Lord speaks to Joshua and says, See, I have given you this city. Now, had that been us, many of us, we would say, but Lord, it's got a big old wall around it. Come on. Maybe Joshua thought that, but I don't think he said that. Because he was so used to trusting and putting his faith in the Lord that God made a way. God instructed him what to do about the wall. And we're not here tonight to preach on the wall of Jericho. We're just kind of talking about what Joshua had been able to accomplish through the power of God up to this point. And then he goes in and he destroys the city of Ai as well. Now the other kings around in this country began to worry because they knew and saw that God was with Joshua. Let me tell you something. If you ever want to make the devil upset, you can upset him by letting him know that there's a group of people, amen, that's going to serve God in spite of anything that's happening in the world today. We're not going to get upset. We're not going to throw our hands up and quit. We're going to put our faith and trust in God, and that's the greatest thing in the world, to upset the devil. But he won't leave you alone. We know that from the wilderness situation when he came to Jesus three different times, and when he finally left, the Bible said he only left for a season. But God has equipped us. I mean, he's thankful for the armor. I mean, he's thankful that God has placed an armor around us. And if need be, he'll even put a hedge about us. So the other kings, they begin to worry. And the Gibeon, where they're from here, the inhabitants there, they begin to say, you know what? We're not going to be able to beat Joshua. We're not going to be able to subdue him. He's too mighty. His army is too mighty. And on with that, they serve an awesome and mighty God. Praise God. I don't think we declare the majesty and the greatness of God enough. We talk about it in church and we praise him, but you know, the world needs to know how great God is. The world needs to know that God still answers prayer. The world needs to know that God still heals cancer. Amen. The world needs to know that God still opens doors. Amen. And listen, nobody's going to tell them except the church. That's our obligation. So they knew that they were no match for Joshua and the army of Israel and for Jehovah God. So they devised a plan of deception. And this is so like the adversary, because he knows he's no match for God. How many believe that? How many believe that God is greater and more powerful than Satan could ever even hope to be? But we allow Satan to have so much power in our lives many times. Have you noticed that we blame Satan for everything? We blame him for our mishaps. We blame him for our sins. And we blame him for this, that, and the other. And he's responsible for a lot of it. I understand that. But many of it is our flesh. We give in to the desires of our flesh. So Satan comes, and he comes sometimes as an angel of light, meaning that he's not an ugly monster when he presents himself to you. He doesn't come in a visual kind of, what do you call it, aberration? But he comes in the mind, begins to speak things to you. Nobody's going to know what you're doing. Nobody's going to see it. You know, you're missing out on a lot. You just need to go and do it. And all of that is deception. Because let me tell you something. Whether your pastor sees it, whether your family sees it, whether your friend sees it, God knows everything that we do. Amen? And we have to watch it, because Satan will tell us to do things that are not pleasing unto the Lord. And he will disguise himself. When he knows he can't win, when he knows he can't convince you, if he comes up and gets in your face and he's that old ugly red-suited devil, amen, and just telling you, you need to just quit living for God, you need to deny God and go out to the world, you know you're going to say, no, get thee behind me, Satan. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Wouldn't you do that if some red outfitted creature come up to you? But what if somebody in this, or something begins to whisper in your ear and begins to entice you and begins to tell you, God's a God of love. You won't surely die. He won't send you to hell. You know, people say that all the time, and the devil speaks that. You know, no, God's not going to send you to hell. He's trying to keep you out of hell. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, so we wouldn't have to go to that awful place. Though we could have our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. So we could have a glorified body. So we could have a place where we could stroll down the streets with loved ones and have a body that's not going to feel pain or agony or sickness or sorrow and experience. No more death at all. But Satan doesn't want to tell you those good things. He wants to tell you, just enjoy life. Do whatever you want to. God understands and God loves you. So what they did, they began to craftily devise a plan. If we go to Joshua and we say that we're strangers in this land, we don't live around here. You ever heard that saying? You're not from around here, are you? You know, we travel up north and they say, and especially if you ask for a mayonnaise sandwich, they say, you're not from around here, are you? Or if you ask for sweet milk. You know, the northerners don't call it sweet milk. They just call it milk. And let me just give you a little word of advice. Don't go expecting you can find grits anywhere up there. They're few and far between, but you can find them, but they're not as popular as they are in the south. Amen. But they was going to devise this plan to seem like and to look like they had been traveling for days or weeks or even months, and just to get to Joshua and the children of Israel and make a league with them and sign a treaty with them. You know what they wanted to do? If they could manipulate them to sign that peace treaty, then they could go ahead and show their true colors and say, really, we just live up the road. But you've just signed a peace treaty that you won't kill us and you won't annihilate us. And they knew that Joshua was a righteous man and he would live by his word. How many knows that God is a righteous judge and he still lives by his word? He's not going to change it for you. He's not going to change it for me. When he promises a promise, how many knows and believes with me that promise will be fulfilled? And what he says in the word of God will happen. Amen. So they knew if they could get Joshua and the children of Israel to sign a peace treaty or a league with them, then they would be protected. So here they come, and they looked the part. Ooh, there's a message right there, ain't they? They really looked like they'd been traveling. They took these old shoes, and, you know, they kind of, if you read about what they did, they just took some old rope and just strapped them around like they'd wore the soles out of their shoes and found the moldiest old clothes that they could find, and even the saddle, their donkeys and all that, with everything that was dusty and old and that looked the part. And this is what amazes me. They stuffed their little lunch boxes with not just day-old bread, but moldy bread. Poor little pitiful people, ambassadors from a far country. No, they wasn't. They was the enemy. Come on, church, they were the enemy. That's the enemy that's trying to deceive you. You don't need to sign a peace treaty with the enemy. You don't need to go and have a league with the enemy. You don't need to have anything or accept anything that he is trying to sell. You need to rebuke him. You need to say, get out of my face. Get away from me, Satan. I am not going to be led down that road. I've been there, done that, got victory over it. Amen. Even got the t-shirt to wear it because the t-shirt said, it ain't about me. It's all about him. He did reach down and he brought me up out of a horrible pit and he set me on a rock. How many knows who that rock is? And he established my goings. Amen. No, when that deceiver comes by faith, say, who are you? Where did you come from? Where did you come from? Many times we have witnessed the fact just after a Holy Ghost filled service, and God is just immaculately blessed, and it just seemed like he rolls back the roof and just pours out one of those blessings. Don't you love those kind of services? And sometimes before we can even get home, here comes the old deceiver, all dressed in a different way, in a deceiving way, trying to sow discord, trying to bring doubt, trying to bring fear, trying to bring situations in your life. And we as Christians need to say, wait a minute, stop. Who are you? Where did you come from? And what we need to do is when those thoughts come in our head, how many knows what I'm talking about? Those old thoughts that the deceiver will put in your mind. Thoughts that we shouldn't even be thinking about it. He'll try to bring some kind of separation between you and a friend. He'll try to bring, you know, you can be passing by and somebody be talking and laughing, and before you even get home, Satan's done put it in your mind. They was talking and laughing about you. You got to stop and say, wait a minute, who are you? And where did that come from? It came from the deceiver. Amen. Dissension doesn't come from God. Man, he does not want any schism. He does not want any division. In fact, he wants a body of Christ that's coherent. He wants a body of Christ that's in unity. He wants a body of Christ praying one for another, lifting one another up, being concerned one for another. And when the deceiver comes, the enemy comes and tries to destroy you, that thought process, or tries to put something in your mind, you got to stop him in his tracks. Don't let it well up. Don't let it fester up. Don't let it get bigger. Say, stop right now. Who are you? Where did you come from? That's the enemy's deception. So they go through the whole process. Look what they had to do just to be able to look convincing. They left probably no particular part unturned. They did everything. From the shoes, from the clothes they wore, even from the bread that they were carrying in their little pouches and all, it was moldy. So naturally, when you look and you see that, you're gonna understand, hey, these people have been traveling a long, long way. And from the scriptures, evidently they had some of the Israelites convinced. But thank God Joshua had enough discernment, amen, to ask a few more questions and to get to the root of the situation. Because it says, the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure, you know, we're not real sure. What if you're not who you say you are? What if maybe you're just some inhabitants of this land and you're trying to get us to sign a peace treaty with you, but it still, they wasn't real sure. Something doesn't look right. Amen. You ever had that feeling? It just don't feel right. You know what that's called? It's called the Holy Ghost bell. Kind of ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. You know, and then you sort of, wait a minute, who are you and where did you come from? And I will assure you, years and years ago when I preached this, I had people come and say, you know what, brother, yeah, I tried that. When some of this stuff come in my mind, I said, wait a minute, who are you? Where did you come from? And if nothing else, it causes you to stop and reflect about what it is that the deceiver is trying to place in your mind or in your spirit or even get you to do. Man, how many knows that we need to control the flesh? And the only way you can control the flesh is by the spirit. Amen. The spirit needs to be stronger than the flesh. Because if it's not, the flesh is going to override the spirit. And that's when we get in trouble. When we give in to the flesh. And Satan knows he can't defeat the Spirit. Because the Spirit is God within us. Amen. The comfort of the Holy Ghost. We know, Satan knows that he cannot be victorious over that. But he knows that sometimes he can deceive our very flesh. He causes us to go or say or do things that are not pleasing to the Lord. So we need to say, time out. Wait a minute. Who are you? You know, you don't look like Satan. You don't sound like Satan, but where did you come from? I've just been walking to and fro, up and down, trying to deceive whoever I can. That's all he ever does. You can't be friends with him. You certainly can't go along with him and be buddy-buddy with him because all he wants to do is kill you spiritually. That's it. I know that's harsh, but that's all Satan wants to do. So Joshua says unto them, who are you? And from whence come ye? And they said unto him, from a very far country, thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. I want to just pause and tell you that Satan is very aware of the God you serve. All that he has done, all that is in his word, amen, the power, the majesty, and the greatness of Almighty God. He knows he can never, ever defeat God. But he can defeat our flesh if we allow him to. And he can cause our flesh, amen, to sidestep
the grace of God and the mercy of God and get into that terrible situation of being led down a terrible dead-end street spiritually. So they said, you know, we come from a far country. And all that he did to the two kings of Amorites, and we're beyond Jordan to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. They knew every battle that Joshua and the children of Israel had just won. Satan knows every victory that God has already performed in your life. And you need to remind him of that. When he comes and tries to tell you you're not healed, you say, wait a minute. Who are you and where did that come from? Where does this come from? My God is a healer. And he says, as my faith is, so shall it be. And he also said, the things that are impossible with man are made possible by God. You've come by too late to tell me that God is not a healer. And if you're not careful, he'll come all dressed up and say, you know what? You didn't really get saved. You didn't really get born again. You just got an emotional charge. Hey, I got an emotional charge, all right. It was on the inside trying to get out. Amen. How many knows the prophet said it's like fire shut up in my bones. Amen. Wouldn't take nothing for that experience. But thank God for that experience. But Satan will come as a deceiver, as a manipulator, and try to cause doubt and fear into your heart. They knew every battle that they'd won. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake unto us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants, therefore now make ye a league with us. Isn't it amazing? Let me be very careful how I say this. That some folks, and I'm not talking about right here, but some folks can look you in the eye and tell you a lie. You know it's a lie, and they know it's a lie, but they'll tell it as the truth. Satan will do the same thing. He'll tell you that God don't love you. He knows God loves you. And you know God loves you. But he tells you anyway. Why? Because sometimes we believe it. Sometimes we get upset, oh God, don't love me anymore because Satan said it. He knows he's a liar, often referred to as the father of liars. He's a deceiver, the master of deception. But you know what? If you get right down, Satan, who are you? Where did you come from? That's not the way God operates. God is a God of love. Yes, God is a God of grace and mercy. And God is a forgiving God. And he will forgive us. Satan tells us, oh no, you're too far gone. God will never forgive you now. That's a lie. That's a lie. God is a forgiving God. And he loves us. But we got to stop him in his tracks. We can't allow him to mimic or disguise or make himself to be something other than what he really is. And quit thinking of him as a deity. He's not. He's a fallen angel. He's a fallen angel cast out of heaven. He's the worst of the worst. But he can look as beautiful as the other angels because he has that power to do so. He's the power of darkness. He is powerful, but his power pales. Way pales in comparison to the power of God. And the way to understand is to know the reality of God's Spirit. I know I've used this analogy so much, but I even heard another minister on the Facebook on the video use a very similar analogy. He used the FBI. I used the bank tellers and how they were trained to recognize counterfeit money or counterfeit bills. And he said the same thing. He said that they would train their FBI agents and all they would handle was real money. Listen to it. They wouldn't even put fake money in their hands. The counterfeit money, they just handled hundreds and hundreds of real money. So much so that whenever they felt a piece of counterfeit, it just didn't feel right. Somebody else said, praise the Lord. Because they were so in tune to what the real thing was. His point is, if you study the real thing enough, you'll know the fake. But what so many people do, they study the fake, find out which is this and which is that. No, you get in touch with God. Know the Spirit of God. And if it doesn't feel godly, if it doesn't feel like God speaking to you, say, wait a minute, who are you? Where'd you come from? Let's go to the Word of God and see if that backs that up. Yes. Amen. You know, so many people, let's go to the pastor. Hey, let's go to the Word of God. I didn't write this. Amen. I'll help you and we'll go for it and teach it, but don't take my word for it. Take the Word of God for it. So the other one was the counterfeit, and the tellers were supposed to study everything there is to know about it, everything. Just be so familiar with it. And then if somebody tried to pass a counterfeit, if anything on that counterfeit bill looked not like the genuine, then ask questions. Then take it to a supervisor. But again, the point was be so in tune to the reality, to the real God, to the real Spirit, to the real discernment. And if it's not, if it comes into your mind, if it faces you on your job, it faces you wherever you are, you say, wait a minute, time out. Who are you? And where did you come from? And just in that little time that you pause and reflect about that, it gives you time to say, Lord, help me. Give me discernment. Give me judgment over this because I want to make it right. How many wants to be right with God? Amen. I don't want anything here to hinder me. So I hope that is a blessing to you. I don't reach back and get sermons from the past very often, but this one was on my heart this week. I could not get rid of it, nor did I try to get rid of it. I just said, Lord, you know, sometimes I like leftovers too, you know. Warmed up leftovers sometimes, just as good the second time. So I pray that it was a blessing to you. And if not, study that. Study where God spoke to Satan. And I said on the onslaught, the audacity of him showing up with the sons of God, you know, just. But, you know, I don't want you to be offended this, but Satan comes to church. I'm not saying in the form of any of our people, but the spirit of Satan comes to church. Why? Because that's what he wants to destroy. He don't care about going down to the juke joints and all that stuff like that. He's already got them. Amen. He comes to the churches. He comes to the service. He comes to prayer vigils and things like that. That's the reason we have to seek so hard to say, Lord, you know, get everything out of my mind, God, that's not godly. I want to just spend my time here worshiping and praising you. Be in touch with the reality. So then when Satan presents himself, you can say, wait a minute. Who are you? Where did you come from? Would you stand? God bless you. Appreciate seeing you out here on Wednesday night. You've certainly a blessing to us. And again, I can't thank you enough for all the wonderful things that you've done for this pastor appreciation. And somebody told me one time they were celebrating a birthday, and they said, you know what, I think I'm just going to have a whole birth month instead of the just one day, because it's just so wonderful just to take one day to celebrate. And that's the way y'all have made us feel, and we certainly appreciate it from the depths of our heart. While your heads are bowed and while every saint of God is praying, you know as well as I do this altar is open. Amen. It doesn't close on Wednesday nights. It doesn't close on Sunday mornings. It's always open. And certainly if you have a need, please come forward and we'll pray with you and we'll pray for you. Because we believe, amen, in the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we serve a mighty, mighty God who is able to do all things. So if you have a need, bring it forward tonight and we'll pray. Nothing is impossible with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Maybe there's just that right person out there right now that just, God's going to say, hey, let's put you in the field. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come tonight, God, with a special request. God, we know that this is not impossible for you. God, we're not praying for healing. We're not praying for sickness. But we're praying, God, that you would put the right person in this position. God, one that can work well with those, God. One that is knowledgeable. God, one that fits in. Lord, and I pray right now that you'll move, God, even on that person.
How long in one car? Or just
two cars? Two different days.
We all just join in. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, right now we pray for these two families. God, that you would protect them as they travel. God, keep them safe from all harm and all danger. Father, I pray, God, that you give them a good opportunity. God, this for rest and relax and have a good time. Father, I pray, God, that you would be with them every step of the way. God, and we'll look to you and give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask this blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Well, isn't it good to know that God goes with us, amen,
yes.
No matter where we go.
That's right.
All right. God bless y'all. We love you so much. Brother Jim, if you'd dismiss us with a word of prayer. Hope to see you Sunday. Amen. Be much in prayer that God will just send us an anointing. Amen. We'll see some souls saved and some
amen.
Souls stirred.
That's right.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm not saying I'm old enough to remember the title. I don't remember the whole message, but I know we've used it. Who are you and where do you come from? So many times we've had that thought, or I have. All hearts and minds clear. Love each and every one of you. Let's be in much prayer for all, as Brother Eddie said, for all the prayer requests, those in the prayer box, the texts, those that are in need. And as y'all know, there's been some families that have lost a loved one, that God will continue to strengthen them, that they'll find that joy and peace in them. And I know there are those that just today were getting diagnosed, is going to have to do therapy, and there are those watching online that aren't able to be with us for whatever reason. We're just going to keep you in our prayers. If you have a prayer request, just please put it in the comment section, and we will pray with you. All righty. Well, with this prayer, we'll be dismissed. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we love and praise you. Dear Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for this service tonight. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to gather in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, as we prepare to depart, dear Lord, we ask you to keep us safe. Lord, bring us back at our appointed time. And dear Lord, as we always do, praying for the young ones downstairs and for the teens, dear Lord, keep them safe. But most of all, dear Lord, may we be about your will, dear Lord. May we be the vessels that you can use. And dear Lord, we just give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says,
amen,
amen. Amen. Praise God. Have a wonderful rest of the week.